We've discussed the Great Pacific Ocean Patch on the show a number of times. It's a floating plastic soup twice the size of Texas. Actually, there are five of these gigantic subtropical jars throughout the world, and even more piles of plastic lying on the seafloor, which raises the question, how did all that plastic end up there? In a nation of 300 million people, the trash adds up fast, and the average American throws away 88 pounds of plastic every year. If you're wondering how to reduce the amount of plastic you throw away, Beth Cherry has some suggestions. She's written a book called Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit, and you can too. It's from Skyhorse Publishing, and I'm very pleased that it brings Beth Cherry to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you brought a plastic bag filled with some plastic products. It's not a lot, but that suggests that it's impossible to live totally plastic free?
Yeah, I think in our modern society, it's really hard. So I've gotten my plastic waste down to one normal size grocery bag per year, and it weighs about 2 pounds. And the number that you said, the 88 pounds per American, that's only what they generate at home, 88 to 100 pounds. That doesn't even include all the waste that gets generated from fast food and things thrown away outside.
Well, how does so much of it wind up in the ocean? After all, most Americans live in the middle of the country.
Yeah. You know, everybody lives upstream from the ocean. And so anything that we throw away can potentially end up there. And even things, when we put things in the right bin, in the garbage bin or in the recycle bin, you know, I think we've probably all seen garbage trucks overflowing with garbage and things blowing around. So it's not just litterers necessarily.
So we wind up with all these plastic resin beads or nurdles in the ocean as well.
Yeah, well, those...
Is that from manufacturing?
Yes. So all plastic products start out as little tiny plastic beads. And those beads are easily littered in transit between the manufacturer and the company making the products.
And it's, as we pointed out on earlier shows, having a very negative effect on marine life.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how you cut down on plastic, because it is everywhere. You go to the pharmacy, the pills come in a plastic bottle. You get thirsty, there's a water bottle, it's plastic. Things are sold in shrink wrap. Our toothbrushes are plastic. You want to buy a CD or a DVD, it has a plastic case. It seems almost impossible to eliminate plastic.
Well, I've eliminated everything from your list except for the prescription bottles, and I still haven't figured out that one yet. Because where I live in California, they can't be refilled. But
couldn't they just put them in a little cardboard box?
Well,
they
don't. That would be great. But I do have a wooden toothbrush, and I shop stores that have bulk bins where I can bring my own reusable containers and bags with me to avoid the plastic wrap and plastic containers.
But we don't. Most stores don't have bulk bins, and some people are concerned that there are hygienic factors there, and not so sure they want to dig into a bin where a lot of other people have perhaps put the scoop, but not always.
You know, in my book, I actually interviewed a woman who works for Whole Foods who explained to me the bulk bins, how they're sanitized, what people with allergies can do. And, you know, they are cleaned on a regular basis. And honestly, for me, I'm not that concerned about germs. I mean, I think we've become so germ phobic in our society, which is another reason for so much plastic waste and so many antibacterial chemicals.
What we were just talking about, what happens when you're at a party and somebody brings up a political issue that you don't agree with.
Uh-huh.
But what happens when you're at a party and, and everything is served with plastic knives and forks and spoons on plastic plates?
Well, I'm prepared. My friends who know me know that I will come prepared. And a lot of them already have gotten rid of the plastic and are using reusables. But I have a little bamboo utensil set that I carry with me everywhere. If I'm going to a party, I might bring a little stainless steel wine glass that I have. And if it's a close
friend... And people don't look at you oddly?
Usually, if I'm at a party and everyone else has plastic and I have this really nice glass, they go, I want one of those. How come I'm stuck with the plastic? It doesn't reflect on me. It reflects on the host.
Well, on another level, we think of plastic as being something a little cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So many things only come in plastic. Do you think New York City's ban on large sodas will increase plastic waste? Because some people will be buying more bottles.
I know. I actually blogged about that. I don't know what impact it will have, but that was something that was of concern to me. If people drink less because of it, that's great, but if they end up buying two, then that's going to be more plastic. You're right.
Do you think that you're saving money by not buying everything that has plastic? Because plastic is really seen by manufacturers as a convenience. It's lighter than other things, and it makes packaging a lot easier for them.
I actually have saved a lot of money. One of the reasons for that is that I can't buy a lot of things. So some of my strategies for buying durable goods are to look for things secondhand, or to borrow or rent, or to actually learn how to repair things when they break. And that's actually been one of the most fun parts of this project, is becoming somebody who actually can repair things instead of just buying new stuff.
A caller tells us that every borrowed book at the Queen's Library is put into a plastic bag. Now, you're from San Francisco, where plastic bags have been banned?
I live in Oakland, but plastic bags are banned in San Francisco, and now they're charging a fee for paper bags because they want to encourage people to bring their own reusables. But in terms of the library, one of the ironic things is that the library is all the libraries are covering my book in plastic. My book was made without any plastic materials, and the cover is uncoated. It's sewn with cotton thread. But in order to preserve it and make it last for lots and lots of readers, all the libraries are covering it in Mylar.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Well, your YouTube commercial for this book makes light of addiction. Is that a fair description? An addict chooses to use the thing that he's addicted to. In the case of plastic, you can't buy a light bulb that isn't encased in this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much addiction to plastic as addiction to the convenience and the fast-paced lifestyle that plastic affords us. And so I've been able to, through slowing down and being more mindful and realizing that I have choices, I have been able to kick that addiction.
There are other things that even people who try to avoid using plastic can't seem to get away from. For example, if you order takeout, there it is. Or if you have leftovers, you've cooked this nice meal, there are all these little plastic containers. Or if you decide to use a regular bowl and stick it in that, well, you're going to put plastic wrap over it.
So there are some wonderful alternatives that are made out of stainless steel or glass. And when I go out to a restaurant, I will bring a stainless steel container with me in case I have leftovers to bring home. There are a few places in my neighborhood where I can actually get a sandwich or some other type of food in my own container. They don't mind using my container.
Now, is your objection to plastic simply that it is causing all this pollution, or are you suggesting there are also health risks to the use of some plastics?
There are definitely health risks. We know about chemicals like bisphenol A and phthalates, which are hormone disruptors in plastics. But one of the things about
are we seeing people getting sick from it, or because the plastics industry says it's such small quantities, it doesn't really have much of an impact.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It has an impact over a long period of time because these chemicals mimic hormones in the body, and so they interfere with children's development. They have been linked to certain cancers, but these things happen very gradually, and they work at very low doses.
And children are more susceptible than older people?
Yeah, because their bodies are still growing and developing, and at different stages, these chemicals act like hormones, turning on and off various things.
So if we are going to be using plastic, can we find a way to avoid BPA plastics or plastics that have phthalates?
We can. However, there is concern about some of the chemicals that are being used in place of BPA. And the plastics industry is very secretive. They don't disclose any of the additives that they put in their plastic products. And there could be up to 1,000 or so possible additives. And if they don't tell us what's in it, we can't know for sure that it's safe.
You mentioned that some of the plastic you brought in this shopping bag is recyclable. How do I know when I get something that's in plastic that this thing is going to break down more quickly than the next thing that's in plastic?
It's not necessarily going to break down, but some things can be recycled or downcycled because plastic doesn't usually get recycled into the same thing but into some secondary product. So it's important to know what is accepted in your community. Recycling is a market. And if there's not a market for a particular material, then even if you put it in your recycle bin, it's still going to end up in the landfill.
And what happens in the landfill? It just sits there for a million years?
Yeah, it sits there. And, the waste aspect of plastic, if it's sitting in a landfill, is not as important to me as the production. You know, producing plastic is very toxic. Using plastic can be toxic. Plastic litter in the environment is very harmful, especially to animals. There are all these problems. And so plastic sitting in a landfill is one of the least of our problems.
Now, some companies have gotten around using plastic, like Apple now encases its computers in aluminum, where mm-hmm. other manufacturers use plastic. But I'm not sure the manufacture of aluminum is all of that environmentally good either.
Right, which is why I advocate all through the book, not just simply switching out one material for another, but really trying to reduce our consumption overall, which is why I like to buy things secondhand or even ask myself, is this something that I really need? Is it going to make me happy in the first place?
So are you suggesting that we all go raid the secondhand stores, good clean out Goodwill because... We don't want to use the plastic?
There's no way we're going to clean out Goodwill. Goodwill is huge. There's so much material in this world. And I actually interviewed a guy who makes children's toys out of reused clothing. And he said, there's just so much material already in existence. We could stop production and just start, you know, reusing the stuff we already have.
A listener from New Jersey, Deborah, says that cat owners don't use plastic to feed cats because... it's been shown that they develop dermatological problems.
Yeah, well, I actually read that when cats and dogs eat out of plastic bowls, they can actually develop acne from that. So I haven't personally seen it, but I feed my cats out of a ceramic bowl.
Well, then you got to go out and buy the pimple cream for the cat, and that comes in a little plastic tube. What do you do about toothpaste?
So I actually have a little box of a product called Lush Toothy Tabs, which are little – I wish I'd brought it in here with me. They're little tablets that you crunch between your teeth, and they foam up, and they brush your teeth.
And what do you do for garbage? The sanitation department prefers you to put it in plastic bags.
Yeah. So we've reduced our garbage so that we have hardly any at all. And in Oakland, we don't use a plastic bag for it. We just put it directly in the bin. And for the wet stuff, we compost it. And I actually, so people who might be thinking, oh, I can't do that. I live in an apartment. There's no composting. I actually have a friend who lives in Manhattan who freezes her compost material and takes it to a community garden every so often.
And there's also a compost station at the Union Square Green Market,
right.
Probably some others as well. My great thanks to Beth Terry, her book, Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit, and you can too. It's published by Skyhorse. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for talking to me.